again, just what we felt led to do today was spend some time in prayer as a church, a church-wide prayer meeting, if you will. It seemed like a good thing to end this week of prayer and fasting doing it. And there's actually, as I was kind of praying into this, what the Lord would have us do today, because honestly, we talk about prayer as kind of this simple thing. It's actually, there's lots of different aspects of prayer, lots of things we can pray for. And the four things I felt led to focus on today that I'll talk a little bit about, share scripture, and then give you opportunity to practice these things, is we're going to focus on praising the Lord in prayer, listening to the Lord in prayer, blessing each other in prayer, and then showing humility in prayer. And that first thing I want to talk about is just praising the Lord in prayer, because God's word is very specific in several places on us entering into God's presence with a spirit of praise. It actually says in Psalm 95, 1 through 7, and that should probably be up on the screen up there. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, or because the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. I love that. It's one of the many places, like I said, in scripture that tells us that when we come into the presence of the Lord, the right way to do it is with a heart of worship, with a heart of thanks. And it gives a couple of reasons in there. One of them is because of how great our God is. I mean, just who he is, how awesome God is. That is worthy of praise. And then that last part there in verse 7 where it says, we are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. We worship God because he's the one that takes care of us. All of the good things that happen in your life, all of the faithfulness that he's shown to you, those are reasons that are worthy to praise him. And here's how this helps us enter into his presence, because you can come into this place with a million things on your mind and be overwhelmed by them, just daily things in life or stuff that's going on in the world, and that's not the thing you want on your mind when you're coming into the presence of the Lord. You want him, because he wants to meet you. He wants to personally talk to you and minister to you. That's why he saved you, to have a relationship with him. And so when we come into his presence, we want our minds on him and nothing else. And the best way to do that is to acknowledge who he is and how good he's been to us. And so that's what worship helps us do. And so that's how we're going to start out today. And we're going to start out with just entering into his presence, singing songs of worship. And I encourage you guys, don't just sing these as like words of a song, but these are things that you've experienced in your life to be true. They're from his word, the things we're proclaiming, but also things that you've personally have a testimony to having seen in your life. So remember his goodness as you're singing these things, and enter into his presence with that heart of thanksgiving that we're encouraged to do. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to worship him first and foremost. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, thank you so much for your goodness, Lord. Lord, you've saved us. And as a result, as it says there, watches over us, and we're under your care. We're your children, is what the word says. We've been given the right or the privilege to be called children of God. I'm so thankful for that, Lord. In a time where it seems like a lot of our rights are being taken away or infringed upon, there is a right that matters more than anything else, and no one can ever take it away because you're the one that's given it to us. And that is to be your children. And all of the promises of your word are always yes and amen because of our faith in Jesus and that truth remaining true. It's not dependent on us, it's dependent on you. And we have so many reasons to praise you and thank you for that. So as your children, we come here today to lift our voices and praise you as we enter in to your presence in your house. Amen. Now, we can worship the Lord in song, but one of the other ways we can come into his courts with praise, come into his presence with praise, is just to verbally acknowledge who he is and thank him for it, or thank him for his faithfulness in our lives. Thank him for the good things he's done. Remember, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. If we're not intentional about thinking about God's faithfulness and thanking him for it and then telling others, we can be guilty of forgetting it. And we don't want to do that, especially in the face of adversity. We want to remember his past faithfulness so we can have a present trust. So right now, we're just going to spend some time, as you feel led, to thank God. Now, you can thank him quietly, but it's also, there's something edifying and encouraging about doing it out loud with your brothers and sisters so we can hear and we can agree. It helps minister to us. The Holy Spirit uses it to encourage us in things we're dealing with because we hear of his faithfulness in your life. It gets us excited as we see his glory as he's working in your life. So in this time right now, just as you feel led right where you are, I just encourage you to praise the Lord for something. Maybe it's for something this week that he answered, or in a way he met you, a peace he gave you, or something directly, an answered prayer, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's just about him and his character and who he is. Whatever you feel led, is you're prompted, just out loud praise God so we can hear and agree. I thank you, Lord, for reminding me that though my flesh is weak, I constantly was battling hunger this week leading up to these prayer sessions. You taught me that my flesh is dead. Like, I can say no to it. I'm not in bondage to it anymore, because as I came into those prayer meetings, I was always just rewarded with this comfort and this peace and a sustainment. Once again, showing me that there's something even greater than I need than bread or stuff in this world. What I need ultimately is you. You can sustain us in all ways. I thank you for teaching me that to an even greater degree this week, Lord. I wanted to share with you guys, some of you guys have been following on my social media, some friends of ours, that their daughter was in a horrific car accident on the way to her weekly Bible study about a month ago, and she left the scene. They took her away from that accident, not expecting her to survive, and let alone if she did survive, never being normal again. She had extensive brain injuries, extensive spinal injuries, collapsed lungs, I mean, crushed jaw, you name it. Her body was just mangled. And so her parents, who aren't social media people, as they would say in their own words, I asked them to make a video for us. They're like, we're not cool like that. It's like, how about I write a letter? But there's been a faithful contingent of people as they shared their journey, starting on day one, asking for prayer. This is our extended church family. They don't go here, but they're going to be in heaven with us. They were asking for prayer, the people that joined them. And as I shared it, there were many from this church that have been following along and praying. It gets me emotional just like reading these updates and seeing God do what, there's no explanation. It's just God answering prayer. And so they wanted to send just a thank you to this church for those that have been praying. It says, dear Coastline Christian Fellowship, we thank you from the bottom of our heart that you've been praying, mourning, and rejoicing with us as we go through this valley of the shadow of death. When we heard that you were coming alongside us, I can't tell you what a comfort that was and is. We're humbled and overwhelmed by your love. You don't even know us, and yet you are moved, and the only explanation of that is God. We are in awe that his Spirit is moving in your hearts to be his hands and feet to us and show us himself
And now we're watching Morgan being healed right before our eyes, and it is undeniably that our God is at work. He's making the impossible possible. In a world of so much sin, death, and ugliness, our God is greater. He is absolutely beautiful, and the works of his hand are bringing the beauty out of ashes. I know it seems strange, but in the darkest and most painful places, we can see God the most there. We praise him for who he is. Thank you again for being willing to be used of God and being the visible manifestation of the attributes of our all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful God. Love, Tana and Jeff Bottom. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Their daughter, who was in a coma, didn't know if she'd wake up, didn't know if she'd walk again, didn't know if she'd be normal even that, is now, 30 days later or above that, about that, awake, alert, talking, remembers who her family is and stuff, already doing physical therapy to start walking again, and she's got her trach tube out and is able to talk and starting to eat and just everything that they were asking for prayer for, everything the doctors were concerned with, thing by thing, God is answering prayer. And that's why we pray, and that's why we have to praise, because it's God doing those things. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we do praise you for that. Thank you for Morgan and just the work you're doing there and answering our prayers so faithfully, Lord. We know you'd be good no matter how things turned out, but Lord, we just are so thankful that this is your sovereign will to work it out for your good, and that you are answering these prayers and healing her. And Lord, you are the God that does more than we could ever ask or think. Even if it's different than our plans, that they're better and bigger, Lord. And we see that time and time again. So it is right to come to you with this heart of praise. We could praise you endlessly, Lord. Because that our lives are just testimonies of your goodness and your awesomeness. And so, Lord, just thank you. It seems like such a small thing to say for how good and great you've been in our lives. But we do just thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. The second thing I want to talk about is listening to the Lord in prayer. The end of that verse in Psalm 95, verse 7 says, if only you would listen to his voice today. So it talks about praising God, coming to his presence with praise, but then how we need to listen to him. And it goes on in that psalm to talk about an instance where God's people didn't listen to him and the consequences that were involved with that. And that's the reason why we want to listen to him, because blessing always comes with obedience to the Lord. That's why he tells us what to do. That's why he gives us his word. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit to lead us through his life, because his will and what he wants always leads to good. And that's what he wants for his children. Jesus actually tells us in Luke 11:28, bless are all who hear the word of God and put it into practice, or listen and obey it. And so putting the word of God into practice starts with hearing or listening. And if you think about it, any meaningful conversation in our lives always, I know some of us have trouble with this, but it involves talking and then listening, right? And prayer is the way we talk to God. And then we need to get in the habit of waiting and listening for his response so we can be blessed. And you might say, because we're going to focus on listening right now, well, shouldn't we pray first? Well, here's the thing. Sometimes it's just good to come into the presence of the Lord. And before you even say anything, just be still and enjoy his presence and listen to see if he has something to say to you. Because I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to talk too much. I thought I'd get some amens there, because you're like, yes, you do. But having said that, a lot of us have that tendency. Just look at your spouse and ask them, and they will be honest with you and tell you. But we like to hear our voices. We like to talk a lot. And we can come to God with that same type of attitude where we just ask. And we never take any time to just be quiet and zip it and listen to what he has to say to us. All right? And so I want to take some time just right now to listen and see if the Lord has something to say. And he might just, this might be personally for you. He might speak to you in that still small voice. Maybe it's just a comforting word, something that brings peace to you. Maybe it's something specific that you've been seeking him this week, or you've been asking him to give you direction in, or just understanding in, and he speaks it to you. Maybe he puts like a word on your heart that you can't help but share. Like it's like 1 Corinthians talks about, like words of knowledge, words of wisdom, something that he puts that's always going to line up with his word. He's never going to put something on your word that's contradictory to his word. If it is, that's not him speaking to you. But put something on your heart that you just feel overwhelming, like I'm supposed to share this with these people. I'm supposed to read it out loud. And I'd encourage you, if that's the case, do that. Just read it out loud. So maybe it's a specific word for someone here and they can receive it. But we're just going to be quiet for a sec and listen and see if the Lord has something to say to us individually. One of the things the Lord personally showed me this week was how affected I can be by listening to too much of the wrong voice. I made this choice that I was going to fast from social media and the news, just not even looking at my news app on my phone. And as the week was going on, man, I just had this peace in the Lord. I had the joy of the Lord. And then Wednesday, I started getting these updates on my phone, these automatic updates from one of my news apps about everything that was going on at the Capitol, and gave in to my flesh and just started reading, started watching like news and what was going on, and my attitude was anything but joyful. It was somber, it was sad, there was despair, anger. And the Lord reminded me in Matthew 6, 22 through 23, your eye, or your ear for that matter, is like a lamp that provides light for the body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. It just personally reminded me that if I spend too much time listening to the wrong voices, it can drastically affect where my focus is and allow the enemy to steal my joy. And so one of my prayers for myself, one of my prayers for us as God's church, that going into this new year, to an even greater degree, we pray and listen to the Lord. We give our ear to the Lord instead of too much of other stuff, other voices, so that our focus stays on him. We stay on mission. We don't get distracted. We don't make ourselves susceptible to the enemy taking away our joy and our peace. Amen. Lord, Father God, your voice is the sweetest voice because it always has truth to say. It always has good things to say. And that is why we want to listen and hear your voice more so than any other. And we know that's on us, Lord. You've given us your word to hear your voice. You've given us your Holy Spirit to wait upon, seek, to ask, find, and wait for you to guide us, talk to us. And so that is what we want to be talking to you and listening to more so than anything else, Lord. So that in a sense, your voice isn't drowned out by the other stuff, but your voice drowns out the other stuff. Help us do that to an even greater degree, Lord, in this next year as your return draws near. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, knowing that God's desire is to bless us, as I was talking about just a little bit ago, it's most certainly okay to pray for blessing in our lives. That is praying according to God's will. And I wanted to spend some time doing that today. Specifically, as I was praying, I felt compelled to pray for our children and the youth or our grandchildren. Because I know I'm speaking to the youth here. I'm speaking to the youth online. I know your world has been turned upside down with what's happened in this last year. I know nothing is normal. You're not going to school. You're online. You know, things that, activities and stuff like sports and stuff that you might have been doing all the time are gone. Maybe there's some youth I know or young people that had aspirations to be at college right now, and they're sitting at home still with mom and dad, hoping to have been out of there. Maybe you have plans to go to school, and those are up in the air. But here's the thing. There's lots of examples in Scripture where God's people, their lives seemed like chaotic like that. Like just they didn't know what the heck was going on. But God's promises and his plans for them were still the same, and those were good. One great example of that is in Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14. God's people had been, their land had been destroyed. They had been allowed to be captured and brought to a foreign land in Babylon. Now, this was because of their sin. I'm not saying that's you, not your fault, because COVID or what's going on. But it was a similar situation where they're in this foreign land with foreign people. They don't understand why this is happening because they hadn't repented of their sin. They weren't recognizing it. But there was no end in sight. Things appeared hopeless. Nothing was familiar. And God said this to them, starting in verse 10. He said, this is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years. Or basically, this is just the season. It's not going to last forever. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. Or basically, there will be a time where you will see the good that comes from this. And I'll bring you home again. Or a place of comfortableness, safety, peace, ultimately fulfilled when God brings us home to be with him. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Man, so many times I don't know what the plans are in my life. You probably might feel that way now. Or you have, or you will. But what matters most is that God absolutely knows the plans he has for you. And it's, he says, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So this is what we can take comfort in, is that God knows his plan for you. And it's a plan of good things. And in that, you can have absolute confidence or hope, a confidence or sure expectation of coming good. Even if you don't know, God knows, and he will make sure his plan comes to pass. In those days, when you feel this way, when you pray, I will listen. Of all the places you could go with your feelings, go to God first and foremost, because he will listen to you. And he says, I will listen, and in those days when you pray, I will listen, and if you look to me wholeheartedly, you will find me, and I will be found by you, says the Lord. So really, those hard times in your life, the times of not understanding what's going on, of adversity, that's ultimately the purpose. Just like it was a purpose with what God allowed in their lives here, was to get them to a place of seeking him, where he could get them to see their sin and how it was bringing this harm into their life, and they could repent and turn to him, and then he could restore them. That's the same with us. Like when those hard things are to get us to a place to seek him so that we'll find him. He's not going to hide from you. He's going to meet you in that place. And as it says in Psalm 16, in his presence is the fullness of joy. We think that if things were figured out or if things were working out the way we want, that's where we find joy. But it's a fleeting joy. It won't last, because things don't ever go fully the way we want or whatnot. But God, in his great and perfect plan that is most certainly good for you, in his presence, trusting him with that plan is where you will find a full joy. And that's why that's where we want to be, and that's where he wants you to be. And so I really sense that was a word for the young people. And so here's what we're going to do. We see lots of examples of, in God's words, of people praying blessing over each other. Especially we see some examples of parents praying blessing over their kids. So we're going to take a moment, and I want you parents to pray blessing over your kids' lives. Now, if you don't have kids here, maybe you have kids somewhere else, they're grown up, whatever, still makes a difference. You're going to pray blessing over their lives. Maybe you have grandkids, you want to pray blessing over their lives. You don't have any sort of kids you can think of, then pray just for the kids in this church. Their parents would appreciate it. But if your parents have kids here, I'm going to ask you to pray blessing over them. And then after you're done doing that, I want you guys to pray blessing over your spouses and over your marriages. And again, if you're not married, pray for blessing over the marriages that you know of, okay, in this church. Maybe your parents' marriage. These are things that the enemy goes after and attacks and wants to divide, and prayer will make more of a difference than anything else. And if you don't know how to pray blessing, what I would just say is, first, I'd encourage you, just let God's Spirit lead you in what to pray. And a lot of the times, the Holy Spirit can lead you to pray specific things that person needs to hear that just resonate with their soul. But if you don't, we're going to go ahead and put up an example of a great prayer in Numbers 6, 23 through 27, where this was a prayer that the Lord said to Moses to tell Aaron and the priests to pray over God's people. And it reflects God's desires for his people. So even though there was a context, it was specific for them, the principles in it apply to you. And in it, the Lord says, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. These are things God wants for us. We know through our faith in Jesus, through our relationship with him, to protect us, to be gracious to us, to show favor to us and peace. So you can pray following that outline if you desire. But right now, just right where you're at, you're going to pray blessing over your kids and over your spouses. While you're home, you're online watching, do the same thing. We're so thankful, Lord, for the blessing, the blessings that you've given us in this life and that you're still going to give us, Lord. We know that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of life. You never change. You're not like a shadow that moves. You're consistent in only being good. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And the last prayer point I wanted to touch on, and probably the most important, because this being humility, because it takes humility to pray in the first place. You're never going to ask God for help or involve him in your life until you realize how much you need it. And the reality is, we need to get to a point of understanding that we are absolutely helpless to live our lives apart from God. Because of our hearts, our flesh, just a word for our innermost being naturally deceitful, as the word says, or depraved. We're just not capable of making good decisions, of knowing what's good and what's bad and what's right and what's wrong. And so we need God's word to define those things for us, and then his Holy Spirit to lead us into what is good and what is right. And prayer is this way that we call out to him and we talk to him and we let him get us in line with what that good or that will of his is, that good, pleasing, and perfect is Romans 12. To show us the direction to take that's good for us, and to show us the direction that's bad for us, and to show us the things to do that are right and the things to do that are wrong that we don't want to be doing. So we need him. We need to understand we're helpless apart from him, and that kind of humility is what will drive us to calling out to him in prayer. And I think it's interesting that the passage you put on my heart was from 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 16. This is when Solomon had just gotten done building this magnificent temple, this place of worship to meet God. And it's interesting what the first thing God tells him is, having to do with humility and prayer. And it's significant because this is what he knew would be significant for them in keeping them close to him and experience the blessing intended for them. It says in verse 12, then one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this temple as the place to make sacrifices, or a place of worship and repentance and reconciliation and relationship with God. At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or man grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. Basically, there would be hard things that would happen, a lot of those because of their own sin. It says in verse 14, then if, this would be their responsibility, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the first thing, and pray, the humility would lead to prayer, and seek my face, the prayer would lead to them being close to God, and turn from their wicked ways, it would reveal any sin in their lives, to turn from that and turn back to God. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. So that humility and prayer and closeness to God and confessing any sin in their life would lead to forgiveness and restoration. And he goes on to say, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place, or I'm going to hear everything you guys are saying. I'm going to listen. For I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever, and I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart. I love those verses 15 and 16, because as I was reading that, I was just reminded that that's you now, right? Through your faith in Jesus, Paul tells us that we've become the temple of God, where his spirit resides. So you're that chosen temple, that set apart from him to be holy, a place where he glorifies himself to be honored forever, and he's going to watch over you. You're dear to his heart. And he would say the same things to us. Just humble yourself and pray, because that's where you're going to find me. So in these last minutes together, I just want to offer that opportunity for us to do that very thing in front of our brothers and sisters, because we're not supposed to bear stuff alone. We're supposed to weep with each other. We're supposed to rejoice. We're certainly supposed to confess our sins to one another, it says in James, and pray for one another. Just where you're at, I'm going to encourage you, if you have something you need prayer for, to just call out to God loud enough where the rest of us can hear you, and we can agree and we can pray alongside you. In humility, just cast that care to him, knowing he cares for you, knowing that he's, as it says there in 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves, starts with humility, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, knowing that he is way more capable of dealing with it than you are. It's an easy thing for him, no matter what it is, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you. Basically, his timing's always perfect. He's the only one that knows the best way to handle it and when to handle it. So that's another reason to give it to him, so that he can exalt you, bring you to a place that you're better off than you are by yourself, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And that's knowing that he cares for you is why you know that he'll answer in a good and perfect way. So as you feel led in these last moments, call out to God. Cast that care to him, and we will agree with you and pray alongside. Oh, Lord, that is so true. You've blessed us with your love. You've shown us mercy after mercy. They're new every day. And because of that, we have nothing but praise for you. Because we've received nothing but blessing. And we, just like we were singing in that song, Lord, we have nothing to bring. We have nothing to offer, but you don't require anything. Just faith. Just belief in accepting that gift you've wanted to give us, that you've done everything for, in your son dying in our place on that cross for our sins, so we could be forgiven of them and be made right with you and come into this eternal relationship that we have as your children, with you being our Father. And because of that, Lord, we want to listen to no one but you. And we want to live our lives in absolute humility, looking to you and involving you in all things and letting you lead us through this life right up until you come and get it. So I pray that for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, this week of prayer and fasting is not just for this week. This is to catapult us, if you will, into the year, so that we don't go out in front of God, but we seek him and let us lead us through it into the promised land he has for us. Amen? So pray, pray, pray. As I used to sing to the kids back in the minnows class every day, and this is just as much of a reminder that I need. Read your Bible and pray every day. Join me, don't make me sing it alone. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible and pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. God bless you guys. Love you.